Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. As always, so glad that you are tuned in. And we've got a great listener question show for you today, including a great question coming from Bel Air, Maryland, from Mary, who's a little bit nervous about traveling to Walt Disney World over the holidays. They're going to be there at Thanksgiving time. She's a little bit worried about the crowds and what to expect. And I guess a lot of folks might be in this situation, so it's a great question, so stand by for that. First, a quick word from our sponsors, and that includes our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Days to Go, WDW. Days to Go lets you count on the days until your next Walt Disney World vacation with style. Right now, I'm glancing down at my spanking new iPhone XS Max, and I can see that we're down to only 84 days to go until Marathon Weekend 2019, guys. It's getting chilly outside. We're getting those long runs in. They're no longer 5 and 6 mile runs. They're getting in the double digits and getting long on the weekend. So it's almost time for Marathon Weekend. I get excited for Marathon Weekend every time I check a text, post to social media, even if I place a phone call. I know that's strange, but I can see how many days I have to go. I see a great picture of the Tree of Life right now. Last night, it was a lit up picture at night of Cinderella Castle. It just gets you so excited for your next trip right there on your device. So turn your Apple device into a Disney device right now. Check them out over at virtualmickey.com. As the holiday season approaches, please do bookmark our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It really, really helps support the show, and it's very simple. You just click through the link. It takes you directly straight to the regular Amazon site. You do your shopping. We get a little credit from Amazon. We really appreciate that so very much. Thanks to everybody who has been using the link. Again, it's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1395 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com, and check out MagicalMouseRadio.com. Party like it's 2009 all over again. Great Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at MagicalMouseRadio.com. And even easier, just yell at your Amazon device to play it, and it will. It listens. Most of the, about 90% of the time, it listens and behaves. The other times, who knows what you'll get. Now, don't hold me to that. So anyway, let's have a great time talking Disney, answering your listener questions. Pam is currently on the West Coast having a great time out at Disneyland because she had to stop there. So she didn't get too tired because she's going all the way to Aulani. So she had to, you know, take a pit stop to check in with Disneyland, see how everything's going out there. I think she had to, she's riding the Millennium Falcon. No, I don't know if she's doing that. I doubt that.
Let's start rumors. Who knows?
But anyway, we are going to have a good time answering listener questions. So she's here. Ricky's from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and The Mouse for Less. What's going on, Ricky?
I am here and I am ready to answer your questions. It's always so much fun getting to answer the questions because I never know what's coming. So I never know if I can answer them.
We try. All right. First question. Title is First Timer Times 2. It's from Mary. Hey, Mike, Ricky, and Pam. I hope I can catch your eye with that subject line so you can answer my question before our upcoming trip to the world. This is my first time emailing in, and I'm so excited to hear what you guys have to say. I started listening to your podcast this past spring. Hello. Why did it take me so long to find you guys? I like that. I don't know. Where were you?
We've been here for 10 years.
Exactly. We were waiting for like 9.5 years for you to show up, Mary, and finally you're here. She says, love the podcast, and she says she is addicted. Well, you know, we can't help you there. It's, you know, we just put out podcasts. Take it easy. Yep. It's like those new Crown Royal commercials that show during football. Water break. Take a drink. Okay, my family, myself, my husband, and 2 girls that are 8 and 7, as well as my parents who are in their mid-70s, are headed to my happy place November 16th. We're staying in Port Orleans Riverside for 11 nights. I consider myself a Disney veteran, but haven't been since April of 2016. A lot has changed since then. This is our first time going over a major holiday, and I'm a little nervous about this. So my questions are, number one, just how crowded is it on and around Thanksgiving Day? So, Ricky, have you ever been on Thanksgiving? I think you have, right?
Nope. Thanksgiving is one of the holidays I've not been down there for. Yeah.
So. I will say, though, I've looked at it over the years and obviously helped folks plan trips. It is busy. I mean, it's brisk because school's out, people are out for work, you get that long extended weekend. But again, don't stress about it. You're going to go. You've got the trip planned. You're going. A good touring plan and getting there early in the morning conquers all, right?
That's true. Yeah, absolutely. Have a plan. Go in with said plan and then be flexible, you know, for the rest of the day. So make sure you have the few things that you know you want to do for that day. And then everything else is gravy. That's kind of the best part about those holiday vacations is that, you know, you can make sure you have the things that you want to do and see, and then, you know, everything else is just perfect, though, you know, that you get to do something additional. So I like that.
And also here, you got to follow what's called the Rahlman rule. Okay. So you're going to be there for 11 days. You are going to be there on the Thanksgiving holiday, and you must, and this is for anybody that's going to be down there in our vast audience, you must have some form of turkey on Thanksgiving Day. I mean, it can be a turkey leg. It could be a turkey sub sandwich. You know, you could go all in and go to Liberty Tree Tavern and have Thanksgiving meal. Or, you know, they have those all over property because they change the menus.
That's what I was going to say. The good thing is that usually a lot of restaurants get announced. Now, doesn't usually happen until about a week or two before Thanksgiving, before they start announcing what restaurants are going to have a special Thanksgiving dinner, which to me kind of defeats the purpose because, like, well, people would have wanted to plan this, you know, a couple months ago. But anyway, so they'll have that information out about a couple weeks before. And, you know, I'll have it on the mouse for less at that point, too. So as soon as Disney releases it, I'll have it for you as well. And yeah, it's, you know, lots of different restaurants that you wouldn't think of will have some kind of turkey dish as well. So that's always nice, too.
Yes. Everybody follow the Rahlman rule. Got to have some form of turkey. It could be really strange turkey, but it has to be turkey on Thanksgiving Day. There was one time I was at a speed skating meet in Marietta, Georgia, right outside your little area there, Ricky, on Thanksgiving for a big Thanksgiving invitational. I was trying to qualify for nationals, get my bid. And we were there. This was like 20 years ago when stuff actually closed on Thanksgiving. And we were down there, and I was like, it's Thanksgiving Day. We got to have turkey. Like, we couldn't find anything that was open. You know, like in Atlanta, like in an Atlanta suburb, we were pulling into the Subway. I was like, well, I guess we'll get a turkey sandwich at Subway. That's turkey. It follows Rahlman rule. Then we saw a Cracker Barrel down the street. Oh, yes, we had a real Thanksgiving dinner.
Anyway. There you go.
All right, her second question is, we have a Fantasmic package at Brown Derby at the studios for an early dinner on Thanksgiving. Well, she's set there. Okay, she's going to Brown Derby.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I bet they'll have some sort of turkey dish at Brown Derby.
Turkey and a Cobb salad and some grapefruit cake or whatever that is. Or I've never been there, but whatever. So didn't plan on arriving until 3-ish to the park as we are doing the Magic Kingdom in the morning. Will the park close to capacity that day? What do you think on Thanksgiving Day? Studios is, I mean, it's the smallest park. What do you think? Thanksgiving Day, is it closing?
No, it hasn't closed on Thanksgiving Day. I don't think I've seen it in the past 15 years I've been in the Disney community or more. So I don't think the only holidays where it really closes are Christmas, New Year's Eve, and I've seen like Easter, but that's really about it. And 4th of July.
Yes.
So, yeah. And you're going to be fine on Thanksgiving.
And finally, can you use a Disney rewards card? I guess that's the Chase Visa rewards card, or gift cards to pay via mobile order on the My Disney Experience app. Sorry this is so long, but I'm just so excited to email you guys for the first time. Thanks for making every one of my days a Disney day. Way too many miles from Disney. Mary's in Bel Air, Maryland. So I think right now, and again, this changes because Disney's always trying to plus My Disney Experience. Sometimes they minus. Yes. But they try to plus it. When they try to plus it, sometimes it minuses it. But, you know, regardless of what happens, I think you just have to use that credit card that's on file right now for your mobile purchases, right?
Can't use any kind of gift card or, you know, Disney reward Visa, thing. You have to use an actual credit card.
Alrighty, next question. Title, Surprise, Surprise. Who should say that? Surprise, Surprise. Oh, Gomer Pyle, I think.
There you go. I think you're right, actually.
Yeah, look at that. I'm old, man. That's like a 50s show.
Hey, you know, my cat is named Opie after Opie Taylor, right?
There you go. Surprise. All right. Teresa says, hey, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. I'm super excited to say that my husband just surprised me with a long weekend to Disney World in December. We're staying at Old Key West. We have actually decided not to purchase park tickets. Instead, we will spend a bit of time at Disney Springs and, more importantly, tour the resorts to see all the Christmas decorations. Here are my questions. You know what, though? Just aside, staying at Old Key West, that's a great place to stay if you don't have tickets. There's a lot going on there. It's a lot of fun. You could just torture the golfers out on the golf course. You know, well, hey, if Scott and I were playing, you better just put on a hard helmet. And, you know, if you're anywhere within like 100 yards of the fairways, because who knows? We just spray and pray. That's how we play. So anyway, number one, we'll be renting a car. Will parking be an issue at the resorts? Will they charge us to just go in for a bit to view the decorations? How does that work? Ricky, driving around. You're the driver. What's up?
I am. So it depends. Did she say what dates? Or I know she said Christmas time, but
December. She just said long weekend.
December. Okay. It will depend on the dates that you're going, and also if it's a weekend or not. A lot of the resorts, like around the Magic Kingdom and around Epcot, they do close to just people who have reservations at like dining restaurants, things like that. So. You may not be able to park in those. You can always go try. It is free to park in the resort hotels. So if you're not staying there, which is kind of the funny thing. That part's free if you're just going to visit. And but like I said, the only issue you may have is usually if it's a weekend or, close to Christmas, like Christmas week, you're not going to be able to park at those two areas. Which is kind of a bummer, but, I understand there's a lot of people staying at those resorts and they need the parking too. So,
yes. And what I would say is, if you can take Disney transportation to a nearby park, so say you want to tour the monorail resorts, go to the Magic Kingdom, right. Hop the monorail, you're set. If you want to drive, I would drive to Wilderness Lodge, check out Wilderness Lodge, take a boat to the monorail, to the Contemporary. Go around the monorail and you can knock everything because you're going to have more of a chance parking at Wilderness Lodge.
Absolutely.
Than any of the monorail resorts. And it'll still get you in the same general area. Kind of same thing for like Boardwalk, Beach Club, Yacht Club. I would try just to go to Epcot. I don't know. I don't know what I'd do. I might just hop a bus to either Epcot or the studios and then hop another bus to one of those or take a boat.
I go to the studios and catch a boat.
Yeah,
you can't hop up a Epcot because you can't go through if you don't have park tickets.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I go to the studios and get on a boat over to Swan and Dolphin and get off there and just walk around. And go and get five resorts. Bam.
Correct.
All right. So, go ahead.
No, keep going. Next question.
Second question. We're thinking about doing the Highway in the Sky Dine Around, which would take us to the Contemporary, Polynesian, and Grand Floridian. This tour is on my bucket list of things to do in Walt Disney World and has been for a very long time. I don't know, however, if it would actually give us time to look at any of the holiday decorations. Any idea? So Pam just did this recently, and she said it was
pretty quick. Yeah, and I think from my understanding, it's pretty like set the process that you go through. So I don't think that you'll have time to look at the resort decorations much, if at all, during the Highway Dine in the Sky. It's a great event, though. I know Pam raved about it, but yeah, I don't think that there's a lot of free time with that event.
So here's what I would say: it would be the speed dating of seeing holiday decorations. It's like Chevy Chase from Vacation when he sees the Grand Canyon. You stand there okay, let's go.
Okay, let's go.
Monorail's leaving. Yeah. Grab a drink. All right. So, yeah, I would do some separate time there. Let's see here. Number three, which resorts are your favorites for Christmas decorations? Do you have a top five by chance?
Ooh.
So, let's do this. Let's ping pong back and go five. Okay. We'll get five. Okay, so you go first.
Wilderness Lodge.
It doesn't
Lodge,
have to be in order.
Right
yeah, Wilderness Lodge. I would say Grand Floridian.
Yeah, I would say Beach Club.
Yes, I would say... I'm trying to think... Animal Kingdom Lodge.
It's a little bit different. It's not really normal. And my last one's going to be the Contemporary because they usually have a gingerbread display.
There you go. So if you're in the Magic Kingdom area, most bang for your buck, but head over to the Beach Club, Yacht Club area, Boardwalk. They're fun. And Animal Kingdom Lodge is kind of like the outlier.
Yeah.
All right. Finally, she has a question. We're also thinking about attending Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party with this being held one of the nights we're there. My questions about that are... Are all the rides open or only a select few?
So it is only a select few for the most part. I mean, for the most part, most attractions are open.
Yes.
There are a few that are closed. I know like for Mickey's Not So Scary Right Now, like Enchanted Tiki Room is closed because that's actually where Moana is meeting. So you can't go in there. I think Jungle Cruise is actually closed too. So there are a few attractions that are closed, but all of your headliners are going to be open.
And do you think it's worth it for two adults or is it more geared towards children?
We're children at heart, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just like a 6'3" kid, you know, when I'm down there, especially.
It's Christmas, so it's perfect for all ages. Absolutely, 100%. I say go have a good time. You'll get some cookies and hot chocolate and apple cider, and you're going to have a great time. It's going to be awesome.
I think it's better as just two adults because you don't have to pay for more tickets. You know, it's more affordable.
That's true, too.
I mean, seriously, when you have four, like we have four, I mean, it gets expensive fast. But if it's just two of us, I'd enjoy it more because half price, baby. That's what I look at it. So, and she says, what is your favorite part about Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party? So mine is, here's mine real quick. It's just the atmosphere. I mean, the parade is awesome. I love the toy soldiers because they are something that is marched right out of a storybook, you know, that you've seen in, like, you know, children's books. When you read those things, you see the toy soldiers playing the instruments. They are come to life. And the thing about that parade is you can see it after the holiday for free if you brave the crowds at the Magic Kingdom, which is, it's a strategy if you don't want to spend the money. But this is what you've probably, as a Disney fan, most likely you've watched the Disney parade, the Disney Park special on Christmas morning at your house. And of course, it's not really a parade anymore. It's more of a bunch of performances, but they intersperse that with portions of the stuff that happens at the Christmas party. So to say that you were there and got to experience it firsthand, what it does, I think it brings back memories for years to come when you see the special at home on Christmas morning. So I really enjoy the parade. The fireworks are okay, but the parade and just the overall atmosphere, the snowing on Main Street USA, pretty incredible.
Yeah, I mean, I think you pretty much got it. The parade is, to me, the best part. I like that the characters are out. You get to see characters that you normally don't usually get to see, which is kind of nice. Although those meet and greets sometimes get a little long. So, like, if you wanted to meet Jack Skellington as Sandy Claus, your wait is going to be a little long. But there's lots of different things that take place, lots of entertainment things. So there's a Totally Tomorrowland Christmas. You've got Club Tinsel that happens.
Gotta have a dance party.
Got a stage show.
Hocus Pocus with Christmas garb on? No.
No. And of course, for all guests, there's a Frozen Holiday Wish. So you can see the castle get lit up no matter whether you have a park ticket or not. So that are not a park ticket, a Mickey's Not So Scary. Or dang it, Mickey's Very Merry.
You have a ticket to the party.
Holidays. Mike, we do have a question that I want to get to that's in the chat.
Well, hang on. Let me close this one out real quick.
Okay.
She says, this is awesome. Thank you so much for being a part of my commute and daily walk with my dog. He loves you too, as I always go a bit farther when I have your podcast to listen to. All the best. Teresa's up in Ann Arbor, Michigan. So she's probably like, shut up talking about the cold down in Missouri. It's only like 38,
that's right.
Like it's probably cold up there. So shout out to the dog. Don't know the dog's name, but woof, there you go. So love him. All right. So what's the question? Go ahead.
All right, so we've got Nick, and he wants to know, my 180-day window opened up for ADRs for spring break, but they still don't have dates open for the Frozen dessert party at Epcot or the early morning magic hours with breakfast for Toy Story Land. Will these two events still be going on in April? So...
this is all
you
because yes, because the thing is, I don't know how you guys do it. To be honest, I have to read the question. I have to have it in front of me to be able to focus. I can't just listen and answer. You guys are pretty good. That was tough. So go ahead. I'm all kinds of confused because I got all the waves going with the podcast. I'm trying to do the audio. I can't concentrate that hard. I got too many monitors. Go ahead.
It's nice to turn the tables finally for once. It's not cool.
Not cool.
Now you know why we forget things sometimes.
That's hard.
and meander and don't know what we're talking about. Yeah. All right. So good news, Nick. They are still going to be going on your spring break trip. The problem is that Disney, while they have us trained for the 180-day mark for dining reservations, these aren't really dining reservations that you're making. They are more event reservations. And the event reservations don't tend to open up until about a month or two before you actually travel. So I know that's frustrating for a lot of people because we're so wired to make our reservations at 180 days. But once you think of them more as event reservations and not as dining reservations, it kind of makes a little more sense just because they have to make sure of the park hours, that they're official, because park hours change a lot as well as time goes on. So they just have to make sure that all their ducks are in a row before they, say, hey, these are the times and the dates that we're having this event. And then have something happen, where they're like, oops, well, we can't have the event that day for X, Y, and Z because, something changed. So they just want to make sure they have all their ducks in a row.
I hate X, Y, and Z.
I know.
All right, next question. My first 10K and my first Run Disney off-site race for Wine and Dine. It is from Lara Thompson. She says, I'm running my first 10K, and of course it had to be a Run Disney 10K, but I'm staying off-site. Ah! She actually put that. I'm used to waking up like a zombie, getting dressed, and then making my way to the bus. Without this option, I don't know what to do. Where do I park? How long should I plan for my commute? If the 10K starts at one park and ends at another, how do I get back? What should I expect from a 10K, having only done the 5Ks? Help me, Runner Mike. Love the podcast. 568 miles from me. And she's guessing about 10 to 15 miles from you. She's in your backyard. She's from Atlanta.
She is. I know, I guess so.
She said, thanks for helping this scared runner. I thought it said sacred, but I think it says scared. So we're good.
There you go.
All right. So it is challenging when you're offside. I'll be honest. I've never done that.
I've done it.
Okay. So you're probably better at this because you know what? I'm like, there's certain things I totally agree with Mike Scopa. Some things we don't agree about, like with Disney, but some things we do. And mine is I am always one of the first people on the bus. Because you know what? I'm not missing the bus if I'm the first one on it. And it stinks because I'm there for like 7 hours before the race starts. I mean, I'm there before the volunteer sometimes. But you know what? I'm not missing the dang race, and I've paid so much for it. I'm going to make you know me. I love being early. I hate being late. I'm always on the bus first. So this would freak me out because there's too many variables. So what have you learned over the years, Ricky?
So you definitely want to get there early. And it is hard, especially because, you know, it's so early in the morning.
Actually, it's just really, really, really late. Just look at it that way.
That's true. It's really, really, really late. You know, you are going to want to be, you know, I hope you have a rental car or a car at your disposal, because otherwise you are in big trouble. I mean, I guess you could take Uber, but yikes.
If I was an Uber driver, dude, that'd be totally prime or whatever it is, the upcharge thing, like by 10.
Oh,
surge.
Absolutely. 100%. Yes. So anyway, I would make sure you try to get there a little bit early because, you know, the closer you get to the race time, and that's when all the other crazies that are staying off site also start making their way over to the race site. So just try to get there a little bit early and make sure you're there with plenty of time and you'll be fine. And you'll park in the Epcot parking lot, I believe. And then, yes, you will be ending somewhere else, but they will bus you over to where you have to, you know, where your car is parked.
Yeah, there'll always be bus transportation if it's a point-to-point race. But the 10K for Wine and Dine, is that a point-to-point? The 10K for Princess and Marathon, they're both just around Epcot, where you can park at Epcot and you're in there. But it might be. And I've done races like that where they started at I've had races where they've started at Wide World of Sports and ended at Epcot. And what happens is you typically park where the race ends, and they bus you back to the start.
That's true.
That's how it usually goes.
Yeah, that's how it usually goes.
All right, next question's from Will. Disney Springs and Mizzou football. Hey, you know you're getting that one red. Hey, Mike and ladies, we're staying off-site one night with my wife and three kids at the Hilton Buena Vista Palace. Any thoughts on this hotel? Also, do they have character breakfast on Sunday mornings, which happens to be the morning we check out? Any experience with this or similar Disney Springs character meals? And Mike, how bad is Kentucky going to beat the Tiger Tail in a couple of weeks? Oh, Will. See, we get to play the spoiler now. So we are going to take out Kentucky, just like A&M did. Don't come to Columbia, because we're going to turn the corner after we play Bama tough for a quarter. I'm just saying that. All right, anyway. So, Ricky, you stay offsite at the Disney Springs Hotel sometimes. Have you stayed at Hilton Buena Vista Palace? I have not.
I have not stayed there. I stay at the Wyndham, which is right next door to Disney Springs, which is awesome. By the way, I mean, I literally can walk out the door and then walk up the stairs and get to, you know, Disney Springs within 5 minutes, which is so fantastic. As far as I'm trying to see, it looks like they do have if it's the right one I'm looking at, they do have a character breakfast. It is on Sundays, so that's good news. Yeah, what was the rest of the question? See, now I don't remember the rest of the question. So
are these
I haven't stayed there, but it should be pretty close to Disney Springs. It won't be as close as like the Wyndham is, because that is the closest one. You know, it should be within walking distance. You know, not maybe 5 minutes, but, you know, it'll be like maybe a 10-minute walk to Disney Springs. But it's awesome just to hop on over to Disney Springs and just walk over there and then go eat or do whatever and then come back to your resort.
So these are real characters. It's not like Rizzo the Rat dressing up like Mickey Mouse and like, thanks for coming to my breakfast.
No, it's not. It's, let's see here. Our Disney character breakfast hosted from 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. I'm trying to see if it says anything else of who you get to meet. Nope, doesn't say who you get to meet. So just that they have a character breakfast. They show a picture with Minnie Mouse. I don't know if that's false advertising in the sense that I don't know if it's actually Minnie Mouse that shows up or if it's Pluto and Goofy or, you know, I know it will be Disney characters. I just don't know which ones it is.
I'm just saying those guys from Showbiz Pizza from back in the day are looking for work. Exactly. That'd be a nice retro breakfast. Yeah, I forgot what their names were. All right, Sharon's got the next question. Jedi training sign up. Answer my question, you will. Hi, all. My question is, what is the best strategy for Jedi training sign up? I know in the past it was recommended to get the Hollywood and Vine breakfast reservation, but with the addition of Toy Story Land, I've heard that it's changed. I'm fearful that a breakfast reservation will put us behind in getting in line for whatever Toy Story attractions we don't get Fast Pass for. What's the best strategy to incorporate both Jedi training sign up and Toy Story Land? Sharon's in New Freedom, Pennsylvania, not near Pam, but her daughter lives in Saxonburg, which is close to Pam. There you go. All right. So she's not, but the daughter is. So there you go. So what do you think? Because you got really time is of the essence at the studios right now with Toy Story Land.
Yes.
But also Jedi training is something that has a hard number and it's full and it's done for the day. What would you do?
Granted, I don't have kids, so I haven't, been able to find the information 100%. But I have heard that the reservations for Jedi are not going as quickly as they once were. I think that's because of Toy Story Land, to be perfectly honest. Everybody's heading to Toy Story Land first, and then they are then heading over to Jedi. And I've heard that, there have been reservations available for even later in the day and stuff like that. So you should be fine. I have also heard, though, I think if you do still have that reservation for Hollywood and Vine, that you can go over and make that, if it's before park opening, you can go and make the reservation for Jedi Training Academy. But again, you're not going to have the same problems that you had before. So, I leave that up to you as to how badly you really want to be in the show and what time, if you really need a specific time, I guess is kind of more of what I, would stress is if you need a specific time, go there first. Otherwise, I think you'll be okay.
Yeah. The later you sign up, the later in the day your child's going to be in the performance.
Right.
Yeah. So something to think about.
All
righty. May the force be with you. Yes. Christopher's got the next question. 7 days out. Help. And this one came in today, so I just bumped this to the top because, it's time. Hi, Mike and BOGP crew. My girlfriend and I will be arriving to the world 1 week from today and need some help. We're all booked up on ADRs with the exception of one night. We'll be hitting Sana'a our first night, homecoming the next, and the third night has been a mystery until now. Ooh. A while back, we saw a tour, Highway in the Sky Dine Around. Essentially, it's a dinner tour on the monorail loop, starting at the Contemporary with stops at the Polynesian Grand Floridian and ending back at the Contemporary. Unfortunately, they do not offer this tour on the dates we're in town. However, we're going to attempt to make our own. I like this.
There you go.
Hey, there's monorails. That's all you need.
That's right.
So he says, which restaurants or lounges do you recommend we dine at for each stop? What items do you think are can't miss at each stop? Do you think we'll be able to dine at these stops without ADRs? Perfectly fine with dining at the bar if necessary. Any help would be appreciated. Looking forward to discussing on our scheduled trip report next month. Thanks, Christopher. All right, so you get to hear how this turns out in just a month on a Monday podcast. I hope it works out well because we need good ratings. Not just kidding. Sometimes the train wreck shows are the most, I get the most comments on, like, oh my gosh, I felt sorry for that guest, but they made the best of it. So, every Disney trip's better than anything else.
That's right.
So they're making their own Highway in the Sky. I love it. Okay, so first you need matching shirts. No, just kidding. You don't need that. So I wish Pam was here because she is the master of the lounges on the monorail loop.
Yes.
So you're starting to, what does it do? I mean, because you could just duplicate it. You might not get your... Because it's more snacky, really. I mean, and you can go to the bars and lounges and get the drinks.
You get a meal with it. I'm gonna say, here's what I'm gonna say. I would go is because the key is that they don't have reservations.
They do not.
That's gonna be the tougher part of this. So They can't like go, you know, they could try California Grill because they have they do have a bar up there. But I don't know that that'll work. So I'm going to go, if that would be my dinner, I would start at the Contemporary, and I would go to the Wave personally. Now, if you wanted to try to go to California Grill, you can try, but I would go to the Wave. They do have a bar there as well. But you can probably get in without having a reservation at the Wave. That would be for dinner. Then I would go over to the Polynesian, and I would go
Trader
to Kona.
I'd go to Trader Sam's. Get a drink and some apps.
You could do that. That would be an idea, too. I was going to say go to Kona and get dessert at Kona. And then I'm going to go all the way over to the Grand Floridian, and I'm going to go to Misner's Lounge, and I'm going to have a drink there.
I like that. But the one thing I might do, because you might be able to score a last-minute ADR either at Narcoosie's or Citrico's at the Grand Floridian. And that could be your meal.
True.
You could go to California Grill for the the lounge area.
That's true.
Drinks at the Contemporary or even at Outside the Wave. They have like a little, can I do that?
They do.
They have cool-looking drinks. I don't drink a lot of them, but they're cool-looking. Every drink they have at the Wave are cool. So I might do... like apps and snacks, Contemporary, Trader Sam's kind of apps and snacks, with Grand Floridian being like the meal. But then you could have dessert with your meal. I mean, you know, it's not going to be perfect. Come on now. You know, just visit all three and eat something. But that's an idea.
That's right. Yeah, I think that's. And then to throw in one more idea, if you'd like to have sushi, you can have that at the Kona Island bar that's right outside of Kona. So if you would just want sushi, you can have that there.
Yeah, that's a good idea because you could get the sushi. Yep, I like that.
And Chef Todd says that the bar at Narcoosie's is a great spot. So
boom.
There's that
too. And that's who you need to listen to.
That's right.
Listen up.
He knows all.
All right, so I like this next one. Here's the title of the email. RDEPCOT@IGWVSME4FEA. Now, if you're a Disney fan, you do like, oh, you're speaking my language, man. You just coded me. I know exactly what you're talking about. So I'm guessing it's Rope Drop Epcot at International Gateway versus Main Entrance for FEA. I lost it.
Frozen
Ever After. Frozen Ever After.
You said FEA, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
yeah,
I figured it out. I deciphered it. It's from Whitney. Hi, Mike and crew. Do you like all my fun acronyms in the subject line? Could you decipher it? Thanks. I got to think now. Thank you, Whitney. I love you. I was hoping to get your attention that way. Well, you did.
I think you did.
We're headed to Walt Disney World the first week of December and would like to rope drop Epcot for Frozen Ever After with our three-year-old before spending the rest of the day at Animal Kingdom and using our fast passes at Animal Kingdom. My question is, should we rope drop at International Gateway or the main entrance? They both look about the same distance to Frozen Ever After. I'm thinking the International Gateway would be less crowded and thus an overall more relaxing experience. Any thoughts on whether one entrance is better than the other in this situation? We'll be Ubering it from our resort so we can have the driver drop us off at either the main entrance or the beach club so we can walk over to the International Gateway. So that isn't an issue. Thanks for all your help and the daily dose of Disney. Whitney. My vote is International Gateway. It's farther, though, I think.
I am going to go with, I think that the Epcot entrance is going to be the fastest route. So I'm going to go opposite of you, as per usual, Mike. I just think that, not because of, you know, I think that it's definitely closer to get to the International Gateway from the Epcot resorts, but... you know, you have to walk all the way around. You can't walk through World Showcase, so you have to go all the way the other way. And I think that that's going to take a little bit longer. So I think you may actually be faster going from the main entrance of Epcot and walking just straight back to, Norway. I think that that's the better option.
I tend to agree with you there because it's going to be more relaxing coming from the International Gateway. You're not
right.
going to have the hordes, but I mean, also you're going to be closer. I mean, you're probably maybe 100 or 200 yards. I mean, it's not that big a deal. It's just,
the hordes may spur you to go faster,
true.
Though. I don't know.
It's the run, exactly. You're in the middle of the running of the bulls when you go to the main park entrance, but back in the International Gateway. But remember, there's also not as big of a, you know, you got lots of turnstiles up front. You have maybe,
right.
you know, two or three lanes to get through security and so forth at the International Gateway, but there won't be as many people. All right, so this next one is actually a suggestion for the listeners for costumes for folks that are still going down this year for the Halloween party. So this is awesome. We just got this from Christine. It says, hi, we just returned from our short weekend visit. While we were there, we had a costume emergency. We found a costume store about 10 minutes away from Disney Springs. It's listed as Lake Buena Vista Supermarket, but I think it is now Cash and Carry. That makes me a little nervous. It has a lot of costumes inside and is a big souvenir store. So if you look it up on Google, she sent a picture as well, and it's got all kinds of, like, what I'm seeing in the picture, like the advertisement for it on, I guess, on Google or whatever. It's just got lots of little trinkets. It's got a lot of the kind of Disney themed stuff you would get like at a Target or, you know, Walmart or stuff. But that's a great idea because, you know, you go down there and you may want to, you know, finish off your costume because it's, you know, you don't want to bring all that stuff on a plane. So it's about 10 minutes outside of Disney Springs, Lake Buena Vista Supermarket. Ever heard of it, Ricky?
No. I don't know if it's just a thing that popped up or if I'm just not looking for it or what, but no, I've never heard of that one. And you know, I drive from offsite. So, but then again, I don't know everything offsite either. I've never heard of that though.
You know what?
I say Amazon, by the way, if you forgot something for your costume, Amazon it.
Just, well, I mean, you know, that's you could Amazon Prime now, but you don't do certain things like that, mostly groceries. So you'd have
that's
to kind
true.
Of, you know, last minute. Yeah. The thing is though, I'll tell you this. There are, I can't remember why we had to go to Walgreens. I think we were out of, I can't remember what we were out of, but like Scott and all of us, we had to go off site last time we were all down there. And it is like, you know, I love Orlando and Kissimmee and everything, but it is a little shocking when you go off site. When you're used to just staying in the bubble the entire time, it was like, woof. You know, it's like, oh man, but the one way we went to a really nice Walmart for, over Star Wars weekend, we had to pick up some goodies for the, we had the travel agency, you know, travel agent training. So Pam and I and a few other folks went down to the Walmart, picked up some, you know, stuff for the villa for the meeting. Somebody had snacks and so forth. Man, there were some great restaurants on whatever road that was down in Kissimmee.
Yeah,
I was like, wow.
Yeah, there's some good ones. Yeah.
And you're probably eating like, you could have 7 meals there for what you're paying on property. So
absolutely, yes.
I'm like, man, right. I need to go off site so I can save some money, but I never will. All right, next question's from Max, my good buddy. Hey, Ricky, Pam, and best travel agent in all the land, Mike. I love hearing that. Thanks, Max. We're working together this week. Just booked a trip with the Magic for Less, and I'm trying to figure out our 4-day plan for early January. We bought a 4-day hopper, and our first day of tickets, we'll also be driving to Walt Disney World from Fort Myers Beach. So that day will probably just be an evening at one of the parks. But what park to go to? We'll have two children. They're 2 and an infant with us, along with a 36-year-old who has never been to Walt Disney World. Since all the parks close a little earlier than normal in early January, what do you suggest we do for that evening? I'd say not Magic Kingdom, as we'll be hitting that up quite a bit with the kiddos. But Animal Kingdom and Pandora could be magical that night, or we could enjoy some time around the world at Epcot, or we could sneak into Toy Story Land, enjoy the newest area of the parks. Help, Max. All right, so it's kind of that travel day conundrum, and it's more complicated in early January because the parks might close at 7. You know, like if you get there at like 4, and you know, you don't have an annual pass, so each day on the ticket is money. So how would you best get value out of that, Ricky, if this was your situation?
I would look at the park hours for that day and see which ones are going to have the longer ones. I was debating Pandora, you know, Disney's Animal Kingdom. So that was one of my options. You know, it'll just depend on how late the park will be open that night. I know that they were just actually talking about they changed some hours for some stuff too. So recently, so that's something to consider. But if the park hours aren't necessarily as long as you would like them to be, I would say Epcot. Epcot always is open till 9 for the most part. So you don't have to worry about flexible hours. They have rare occasions when it's open till 9:30, usually around the holiday season. But most of the time it's open till 9. So I'm going to say Animal Kingdom or Epcot, depending on, you know, kind of which one's open the latest. And if Animal Kingdom is open later, then I would suggest Animal Kingdom. Or not later, but you know what I mean? At the same amount of time or later than I would say Animal Kingdom.
You know, I think, too, World Showcase is a great bet because, you know, to enjoy World Showcase, you're not really queuing up for anything. So you're not, you know, by getting there later in the day, early evening, you're not kind of behind the eight ball there.
That's
ever
true.
Because, you know, you're getting snacks. You're seeing the Christmas decorations will still be up. He's going very first week of January. You know, you're enjoying it as it's meant to be enjoyed. And it's a great way to kind of kick off the vacation. It's not like, you know, you're walking down Main Street, save that for the next full day. You know, the first full day when you're there, go to the Magic Kingdom, you know, have your moment with the castle like everybody has a Disney fan. But, you know, just stroll around World Showcase, get some snacks, get a drink, and just kind of unwind because you've driven in, You've gotten to your hotel. You know, you're getting settled in. That's kind of a great, you know, watch Illuminations because that won't be around forever.
Right.
You know, and just kick off the vacation like that's what I'd say.
I think you just talked me into that one. I was leaning that way anyway, so I think you just talked me into it.
All right. That's what you do here. All right. Next question. It says, touring plans, room request. It's from Nicole. Howdy, Mike, Ricky, and Pam from Oklahoma. Especially Pam, as she must be a Southern sister. I just heard her use y'all in a podcast. Pam is far from Southern. She does use y'all, though.
I would be the one who would be more likely to use a y'all living here in the South.
Sam is from, or Pam, Sam. I don't know who Sam is. Pam is from Pittsburgh. And so I don't, the last time I checked, that wasn't South. But
no, you know, definitely not.
I don't think so. She says, do you know if you can make either or room requests through touring plans? I have a subscription for my December trip. We purchased the standard view at Beach Club without realizing the garden view was just a few bucks more. I have found standard view rooms on the second and third floors that we would be pleased with. Any suggestions on how to make this kind of request? Love the podcast. Y'all make a lot of fun to listen to while I walk my dog. She's in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. She says, I also have a candlelight processional question coming soon. So we'll be standing by, Nicole. Just fire it away. And also, hey, the second dog question of today's show. Shout out to the dog in Oklahoma City. Woof. There
what
we go.
Up?
I love this. We've got a new demographic all of a sudden. It's bizarre.
I don't know. That's pretty awesome.
The show
demographic.
Has totally gone to the dog.
You've seen the cat sits yes. here next to me, you know.
I know.
So,
oh, my gosh. All right. So it's kind of like Apple. They've sold an iPhone to every person on the planet. So now they got to find somebody new to sell to. That's what we're doing, too.
That's right.
Everybody's found the
we're
podcast.
We're making the animals listen.
That's it. We're torturing them. So do you know anything about the either? I encourage guests if they have a touring plan subscription to use it because you're paying for it. And I've heard it is highly effective, but I don't know about an either or situation. I might just email the folks over there at Touring Plans to see what they say.
I think that that would be the best option. I, you know, even though I'm a blogger for Touring Plans, I don't deal with all of that stuff. So that would be a question for one of those fine people at Touring Plans. Absolutely email them. They will be happy to assist you. I can guarantee it.
And they're not like, you know, they will get back to you right away. It's not like
they
you
will.
Know, they're not like, you know, MasterCard or American Express. You know,
has, no.
You know, they're not headquartered out of like Japan or something. They're going to get back to you right away and let you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll probably take care of it for you. So there you go. All right. Last question is for my buddy Tony. He's in Marietta, Ohio, getting ready for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. He's been training hard. Howdy, Mike, Pam, and Ricky. Quick question about Magical Express. We're headed down for a quick weekend for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon. We've selected Magical Express for both the arrival and departure, but are considering taking a Lyft ride from the airport to the expo to save time and to get us to the Magic Kingdom earlier in the day. Do we need to cancel our arrival Magical Express ride or just go down and check in and let them know we're taking a Lyft? We've heard that reservations will be canceled for not showing up to your ME ride, I guess your Magical Express ride, or that one person in the travel party is required to take Magical Express to the resort. Also, will our luggage still be delivered because we have the yellow tags? Best Disney podcast ever, Tony. All right, not the best reading today, but we try. So Tony, we've talked about this actually off air. You know, I wouldn't bother with canceling your Magical Express reservation. They are not going to cancel your... He was worried about his hotel reservation being canceled, mm-hmm. auto-canceled, if they didn't ride the Magical Express bus as scheduled ahead of time.
Got it.
That will not happen. So you're fine. Because the thing is, you got to think about the logistics of Magical Express. Many, many times a day, flights get changed, delayed, canceled. People miss their bus, you know, or you get in, you know, and you're in a rush. You know, all of a sudden, like... You thought you were going to get in at noon and you land at 3 and you had a, you know, 5 o'clock ADR for Chef Mickey's. Well, of course, you know, you want to save that. Maybe you're going to take an Uber or Lyft to the, you know, directly to the Contemporary or something like that. The only caveat that we talked about, can you speak today, is that you will need to grab your bags. And they, you know, so obviously they'll be with you. They're not going to get delivered. You have them because they will not take your bags without you being on the bus. So grab your bags from the carousel and then... Right there is where you can catch that Lyft and your piece of cake. Because, you know, you catch your private transportation, Uber, Lyft. It's all right there, right outside of the luggage carousel. It's very simple. And it's not hard.
Yeah.
So.
And I know that they want to go straight to the ESPN. And that's a great idea. But just keep in mind, then you will have your luggage with you. So just know that you may want to consider dropping it off at the hotel first and then going from the, you know, hotel to...
That's a good point. ESPN. I didn't think about that. That's right. You're going to be rolling the suitcase around. And the thing is, like, Wide World of Sports is deceivingly large. Like, it's a lot of walking.
Yes. So, I mean, I understand you're looking to make things a little faster, but, you're going to have your luggage with you. So just keep that in mind when you're making up your mind on what you want to do.
And I've swore to myself that just walking the expo is longer than the 5K. Like, the 5K is shorter than the expo walk to get all your stuff. Because I'm a shopper, you know, like I never go shopping anywhere other than Amazon. So when I'm at the expo, I like seeing all the stuff, like, you know, touching the shoes and seeing all, you know, like stuff you don't need. Like, I've got compression socks, but ooh, they're cool. You know, go, man, they're 20% off here, you know, and I don't know. It's actually better now that New Balance doesn't do the shoes. It's much better.
That's much true. Better. They don't do shoes anymore. So
that's helped kind my of a wallet. Bummer. Oh, I always had to get them. Anyway, all right, so that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you so much for the great questions. Keep sending those in to mike@brguestpodcast.com. We'll get to those right away. Today's episode brought to you, as always, on a Wednesday by our friends over at virtualmickey.com, home of great iPhone apps like Theme Park News Disney Edition. What are we reading about this week, Ricky, on Theme Park News Disney Edition?
Well, we are reading about the fact that there are two new stores that have come to Disney Springs. Well, actually, there's three, but one of them I think I've talked about before, and that's Love Pop, which is a card shop, a card store.
Wait. It's a Hallmark store?
No, it's a card store, not a Hallmark store.
So it's the same thing, right?
No, same. Okay. These are like pop-up cards, so that, you know, they're very intricate pop-up cards. So anyway, that's going to be at Marketplace Co-op. Also at Marketplace Co-op is a store called the Disney Tales. It's T-A-I-L-S. So it's a spot for pet owners. You know, we were talking about the pets earlier.
Yeah, so popular.
I gotta get our marketing here.
That's it.
Right?
We're in.
So the doggies and the kitties can get things like leashes, collars, bandanas, and squeaky toys inspired by favorite iconic Disney foods. The last thing that's being added is The Art of Disney presents Greg McCullough, which is slated to open on November 3rd in the space formerly occupied by Little Mismatched. And it's going to be an art gallery featuring the works of Greg McCullough. And it will be open for a limited engagement through January 1st. And he will actually be there every day except Mondays from 1 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. to have guests interact with him, sign artwork, or even see him catch painting. So see him painting. I can't speak either. So
this sounds hard.
It's me and you.
Pam goes to California and we fall apart.
It all falls apart. That's right. So that's the news for the week.
All right. Check it out today on your Apple device. Theme Park News Disney Edition. Free iOS app for your Apple device. Turn all your Apple devices into Disney devices right now over at virtualmickey.com. Again, as the holiday season quickly approaches, please bookmark our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Anytime you do some online shopping, please. It's a simple way to support the show. Costs you nothing extra. Everything is exactly the same, but it helps support the podcast. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And we thank you so much for doing that. And give us a follow on social media. We're on Instagram and Twitter @BeOurGuestPod and @BeOurGuestMike. We've got a great Facebook page over at facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. And we're going to be back on Friday talking about a lot of new stuff that's happening down at Walt Disney World that may affect your upcoming vacations. We're going to take kind of a spin on it. We're going to say, is this something or is this nothing? So we're going to talk about the Disney news and will it affect us? Is it a big deal? Is it not a big deal? So we're going to have some fun talking about all the stuff happening and changes, lots of changes happening at Walt Disney World. So until then, for Ricky, I'm Mike, wishing you a great Wednesday. Time to head back to work and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.